When the Lord spoke to me about dealing with the topic of the cross, I said, well, Lord, I need a new revelation into the cross. Because, you know, after we've said something so many times, even though it's a glorious thing like the cross of Jesus Christ, we begin to think, well, you know, everybody understands the cross. That's where Jesus died for our sins. But I tell you tonight, I have a couple of working titles on this. One would be Restoring the Cross to the Church of Jesus Christ. The other would be lifting up the cross in our individual lives. We have so sanitized the gospel. You know, there's some procedures they do. I know that my nephew, Ara, had a tendon replaced in his knee, and it came off of a donor. And before they put that in his body, it was sanitized. All organic material that had life in it was destroyed so that there would be no reaction by the body. You know how when people have organ transplants, they have to take things that suppress their immune system. Because when that comes in, your body says, that doesn't belong here, and puts out all these immunities that can kill it. We have done that with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have sanitized it. We have taken the power of the blood, the essence of atonement and reconciliation, we have destroyed. And you know what? In thinking about it, I at times have been a part of that because I didn't understand. God's so good also that if he knows you're speaking just out of ignorance, he'll bring you around and let you understand. I've said many times, we've got to see Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, on his throne in glory. I many times have said, we can't leave him in the manger as the cute little baby. We can't leave him on the cross, a suffering sacrifice. We've got to see him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I meant well in saying that, and it is true to a certain extent for us to be able to understand the power that is in Jesus Christ. Excuse me, I was going to kind of get up to it slowly, but I just can't. But what the Lord spoke to me is he said, you cannot see the power of the risen Christ without looking through the cross. He further spoke to me and said, at the beginning of this word, we know in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who was it talking about? Jesus. Now follow this. This is what the Lord told me. He said, was not Christ victorious at that point in time? Wasn't he a king? So why did he need to die? In other words, we've just skipped right over into victory. We've just gone right on over into glory. And I tell you the problem with that. I'm just telling you what the Lord told me. He said, you're skipping the cross too. In our preaching, in our teaching, we're talking about great and mighty things, prosperity, being grand, being great, worldwide, international. But we haven't crawled up on our own cross. Because we've taken the cross of Jesus Christ out. We've tried to jump straight on over into glory, and you cannot do that. If you take out that step of the cross in Jesus Christ, you're not going to climb up on your cross in your life. Now, I'm not saying that you suffer for your sins. Christ did, and I'm going to go into that in a moment. But although he died for you, you have to die to self. And the only way you can die to self is identifying with the crucified Christ on the cross. And knowing that you are dead to sin. Because Christ made it possible. I want to get into this a little more, and some of these things I will come back to. Thank you, Father. This is a confirmation, because this was a scripture that he had put in my heart when he was talking to me about Christ being from the beginning. So if we skip on to glory, what's different than before Christ was crucified? And why did he need to be crucified if we just skip on over into glory? And he said the scripture that you like about that eternity was put in everybody's heart. You see, when I laid my Bible open here on the pulpit, it opened to this. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. Eternity has always been there. But we couldn't find it because we were cut off from the Father. I don't have time to start from the beginning, but just to catch you up. If you're a little behind, we were created in the image of God. In the beginning of us, he breathed his spirit into us. And man became a living soul. His breath, his essence. But then when sin came in, we were cut off. Now, the way the Lord illustrated this to me, I talked to the ladies a few months ago about something, and the example of Solomon came up. And if you read about the life of Solomon, you know he doesn't end very well. And yet we know the Bible says that he had the most wisdom of anyone that ever was. And the way the Lord explained that to me is he said he had the greatest capacity for wisdom. And we see that in some of the things that he said. I mean, it's just incredible wisdom. But it said because of the idolatry that was in his life, he was cut off from his source. Very simple way to help you understand this. You know, you see on TV, let's just pick one out. Let's say vacuum cleaners. Have you seen that guy on TV that's come up with the vacuum cleaner that doesn't get the suction taken down? His name is Dyson. Those vacuum cleaners cost $500, by the way. But I could go buy me a Dyson vacuum cleaner. And it, as far as I know, it has the greatest cleaning capacity at this point in time for just your general household vacuuming. But if I unplug the Dyson, it won't run. When the Lord explained that to me, I thought, you know, why was I confused about what happened to Solomon? He was given the greatest capacity. He was the Dyson of wisdom. But yet his idolatry cut him off from the Father. So now, although that capacity is there, he falls into, you read some of the things he's talking about, vanity and all of it. He fell away from the Father, and now the capacity is there and still trying to operate, but it's not with its source. And there comes perversion. A strong inclination without the Spirit of God becomes perversion. That's what the Spirit just spoke to me now. Do with that what you will. But as man was created in the beginning, we had this capacity to communicate with the Father, to be one with him. But through sin, we were disconnected from our source. And although that kernel of the divine was still there, we couldn't make contact. And I'll read a scripture in a few moments about how Christ was the one that made that contact, and you know that. But it was all because of the cross. The cross, I will read the beginning of this. I didn't rewrite it because I didn't plan to read it to you. But this prophetic word that the Lord gave me on November 30th about the cross, some parts of it I'm still chewing on. So I'll skip around a little bit. I'll get back to you later on some of these parts. But let me just start this. The significance of the cross is not found in its form, because I was sitting there, the Lord knows your thoughts. And I was sitting there thinking about how we talk about one part of the cross is vertical, indicating our relationship with God, and one part is horizontal, indicating our relationship with other people. And it preaches well, and it's not heresy, but the Lord heard my thoughts, and he said, the significance of the cross is not in its form, but in its function. It was the vehicle of grace, whereupon the Christ emptied himself of all of himself, so that the redemption of the lost could be purchased. It was his very essence that provided the atonement offering. It was by his Spirit that the powers of darkness were cut off, listen to this, from unlimited access, I will say now, to the children of disobedience, or the lost children. God gave me a phrase there that I'm yet to figure out, so I won't confuse you with it. He was cut off from unlimited access. You see, when we were cut off from the Father, the devil just did what he would just deceive. Just have you doing whatever, because the Holy Spirit wasn't there to say, hey, wait a minute, that's a bunch of baloney. So he just did what he wanted to do. He was stopped from having unlimited access of the lost children. His very essence was a catalyst for the purging process to begin at the releasing of his Spirit. Redemption of the body means more than first estimation. We talk about the redeeming of the body. I will remind you that when Jesus was before his disciples with the elements of what we now call communion, he said, "This is my body which was broken for you. Take and eat it." Then the wine or the grape juice. "This is my blood." You see, wine or the fruit of the vine represents Christ, as does, I can't get to it right now, but olive oil or any oil, because it comes from the pressing. Now, you've heard that before, but the way the Lord described this to me, I was thinking about, the Lord's taking me on a totally, taking up me off my outline. I will get back to it if he desires. The scripture in Isaiah that says, "He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed." Doesn't say one word about death at that point, does it? The Holy Spirit was released by him being crushed. When he died, he did so by his own will. He said, "Father, I commit myself into your hand." But the Holy Spirit is the essence that was beaten and squeezed and pressed out of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes out of him. So if we sanitize the gospel and we skip on to glory, we don't see the beaten, striped, wounded Christ. Through those wounds which comes the Holy Spirit. And when you lose that image, you lose the power. And can you see how in our efforts to really well-intended, to kind of move on into glory and quit talking about the glory, I didn't mean to rhyme that, but we'll stick it there. We have lost why we have the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, a lot of times we've lost the Holy Spirit, because he could only come through the pressing of the Christ. When you, in James where it says, "Call for the elders of the church," talks about anointing with oil, you might as well be putting, we say, well, that represents the Holy Spirit. Yes, it does. But you've got to understand that is the essence of Christ. That is like Christ being poured out on you. If you come forward for prayer and oil is put on you, it's just like Christ is applied. And don't you see that when we lose the cross, we lose that element, that what we receive comes from the crushing of the Son of God, came out of his wounds. And we've just walked right into what the enemy wanted. I don't really know whether to read any more of this. It may bring more confusion. I'll just sum up kind of the end of that before I go on to these scriptures. What the Lord spoke to me was, because the scripture I quoted a moment ago, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The Lord spoke to me and says, because it was Christ that created all things. Christ refers to, you see, I don't want you to be confused, but when we talk about Christ as part of the Godhead, that is the part of God that acts. That is the part of God that creates, Jesus Christ. Nothing was made without Christ. And because that is true, it had to be his essence that restored. If that confuses you, just put it somewhere else, and after a while it'll come to you. It was that essence. Now, what the Lord also spoke to me, he said, "In the beginning I was able to breathe and make man a living soul." He said, but the eternal or divine essence that was cut off from me can't be breathed back in without a breaking. And when there's the breaking, the only thing that will heal what was wrong is what caused it to be in the beginning, which was Christ. Are you following that? Let me just make that real simple. Christ was the solution for our problem, because it was his, through Christ, that we were created in the beginning. Y'all all get that? When you lose the cross, in a way, you lose the Christ. Because you lose the essence of what he did, literally, the essence that flowed out of him into us, the Holy Spirit of God. We talk about the Trinity and sometimes we get confused. So I won't go, the Lord gave me a wonderful insight into that. That was the October Women of Harvest. If you want to get the tape on that, I hear there's a problem with the tape, but we're going to find the right tape. Did we find it? And the Lord, it was just straight from the Lord. It's not something in books or something I hunkered up. So I would suggest that you get that if anything I've said has confused you. I want you to look first of all at 1 Corinthians 2. Some of you will already know what these scriptures are because you see, we've heard these scriptures many times. But we've lost the impact of them because of this sanitization of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to say it over and over again because we've moved on to glory. 1 Corinthians 2, let's begin with, I want to read verse 1. And I, brethren, this is the Apostle Paul talking, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Now, the Apostle Paul did not come to them in that way, not because he couldn't, because he was not ignorant. If you've read the Pauline epistles, if you've read the things that the Apostle Paul wrote, you know he was not ignorant. But he says, I have not come to you trying to impress you with what I'm saying. He says, when it all boils down to it, let's read verse 2. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, it seems today we've gone on to all the great and mighty things and all the glory and all the intellectual. And y'all know I'm educated. I'm not against education. But we've got a lot behind the pulpit that's now trying to sound intellectual. When you do that, you're going to get in trouble. And it's no longer Jesus Christ. Did it stop it? I am determined to know anything among you except Jesus Christ. Did it stop at that? Or did it add, and him crucified? Do you see where we've lost the point? If you don't see the crucified Christ, you don't see the Christ. Now, the crucified Christ, from that vantage point, you'll see the glory. But if you don't see him crucified, you're going to lose what he did, and you're going to lose what you need to do. Let's look at Galatians 6. Now, the context of what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 6 is that they were arguing over whether they needed to be circumcised. That was a sign among the Jewish men that they were circumcised. The Apostle Paul has been debating this back and forth. And then he comes in Galatians 6 and 14 and says this, but God forbid that I should glory or find my glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying there's not in the sign of circumcision. The sign of circumcision was only pointing forward to a time where Christ would bring redemption. It was a sign of the covenant. He's saying now, once you have the covenant, let me see a good example. If you've come to my party and you're enjoying it, do you need the invitation anymore? So, these people wanted to continue the signs of the covenant that was going to say, which said, you're going to be my people. I'm going to send a redeemer. I'm going to reconcile you to myself. And they still wanted to carry around the invitation. And they were there. Christ had provided it. So he says to them, I'm not going to glory in whether I'm circumcised or not. But I'm going to glory in the cross. In other words, that is where what I need happened. Not in my circumcision, not in that sign of covenant, but in the fulfillment of the Christ on the cross, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Again, the Apostle Paul could not have been crucified to to the world and the world to him if he had lost the image of the cross. But with that cross of Jesus Christ before him, and then later on, let me read 17. From now on, let no one trouble me. In other words, don't come to me anymore trying to see if I have the authority to say what I'm saying. He says, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he wasn't talking about these signs, stigmata, I think is what they're called, where, you know, some people, they say they're bleeding from the palms and the feet, and it's a sign of a sign of the Lord. I want to address that one way or the other, but that's not what it's referencing. He's talking about wounds that he received because of his message of the cross and Jesus Christ. He says, I wear my authority, friend. I'm just wondering if we're wearing our authority. Now, I'm not talking about we got to go out and get beaten up. Though, as you know, my fathers and so my ancestors, many were killed for the cross of Jesus Christ. So, yes, there were wounds. They took their skin and made lampshades out of their skin. They put gunpowder in the women's hair and set it afire to blow their head. I don't want to be gory here. I mean, let's sanitize this. Long before the world knew that there was a conflict between Jesus Christ and other segments of the world, the Armenians were dying for the cross of Jesus Christ. And before them, so many others. Not for us to put emphasis on that, but we've got to remember that others have done what we don't have to do. But that being the case, we don't even want to carry around wounds of our feelings. If the Lord says no to something we want, you know, I believe it's true where it says you always get an answer, just sometimes it's no. If the Lord says no, we get our feelings hurt and we're ready, you know, just to do whatever. That's because you're not on your cross. You may be on your cross, but you're just holding on. Have you ever seen a child that they want to hold your hand, but they don't want to hold you to hold theirs? You know the difference in that? They can let go at any time. See, this is this hand holding this hand. This hand at any time can let go, but this one's caught, right? The opposite. This hand can let go at any time, but this one's caught, right? We want to hold on to the cross, but we don't want the cross to hold on to us, because we just got to get on about our glory business. We got to get on about our being all shiny and wonderful and intelligent. I pray that we could say as the Apostle Paul, I'm proud of my wounds. I'm proud of anything that anybody that said because I love the Lord. I'm not talking about things people have said because you're stupid. That's on you. I hope you don't enjoy that. But I hope we can, if we're going to glory in anything, be glad that we can suffer for the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Instead of running from suffering. Because let me tell you, this is the Spirit speaking this now. Your suffering will pour out the essence of Christ on those you can't reach in any other way. And yet you run from suffering because you want to sanitize your own life. You become an ambassador of Christ when you dispense that same Spirit that's been given to you into your situations round about you. But no, that's not going to happen if all you're going to sit is on a tufted up velvet pillow and cry over what you don't have. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Now, you may be saying, I came out in the rain tonight to hear this. Believe me, those of you that know, you know what I'm going to say. I'm not mad, and I'm not beating you up, but I will tell you this. I'm mad at the devil for pulling this whole thing on over us that put us on into glory, and we lost our cross. And when you find your cross, you allow yourself to be nailed to the cross. Let me go on. I will get there. Look at John 3. Now, let's look at what Jesus said about the action of the cross. John 3, 12 through 14. I truly believe, while I'm drinking water, turn to somebody and say, she truly believes when we restore the cross to the church of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the church universal. And in our individual lives, see, because you got to start there too. You are going to see. Now, you're going to have spiritual warfare. You understand what I'm saying? But right now, the devil's beating us up. And if you don't believe that, well, just go and believe what you want to believe, except that it's a lie. The devil is beating us up and taking our name because we've lost the power of the cross. But when we see the power in the cross again and restore it to its rightful place in our individual life and in the church of Jesus Christ, he will run from the cross. It's the last message he wants to hear. So when we preach everything else and neglect the cross, he's really happy about that. But we are going to catch on.